Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. So yesterday was Black Monday in the NFL. We're starting to see more reports come out today as well. That centers around the firings of coaches and some general managers. Here's where things stand as of right now. The open jobs: New Orleans Saints, New York Jets, Chicago Bears, Jacksonville Jaguars, and the New England Patriots all have open coaching spots. Already interviews have been requested, including two members of the Chiefs staff. One report out there suggests that Matt Nagy's been requested for an interview with the Jets. We'll talk more about that in a bit. Also, Mike Borgonzi with the Jets, assistant general manager to Brett Veach.
He's come up before.
And sometimes teams do like to do the pairing. Like, you get, hey, we're going to bring a GM in this. We'll see if ultimately that happens. The Jets are interviewing, like, everybody. Mike Vrabel seems to be the hottest name right now. Ben Johnson is still in the postseason. They can do interviews on Zoom this weekend.
That's what Nagy did.
And that's what's basically Aaron Glenn
going to do.
Aaron Glenn, the Lions defense coordinator, also doing that. So we'll see how it plays out. But it seems like if you're asking, the two top picks right now, Vrabel and Ben Johnson, and then we'll kind of see what happens after that.
Bucks offensive coordinator seems like he's pretty high on a lot of teams' list. I'd be surprised if he didn't get a job. So this goes back to the same thing. I see all these names toss up, and I'm like, you didn't want him? You didn't want Bill Belichick? Instead of some of these, I mean, it's fine.
They were done, man.
He's going to go to North Carolina, but the league had told Bill Belichick, apparently, they didn't want him anymore. Next time on What's Trending, if you missed it, Sunday and Monday, the Royals made a couple of moves. They signed Michael Lorenzen to a one-year deal worth $7 million. Yesterday, they signed Kevin Biggio to a minor league contract the day before that. Both players, I think, kind of lend to or point towards maybe another move coming for Kansas City. Just good, solid depth pieces. Kevin Biggio is the Adam Frazier replacement. Michael Lorenzen is the, hey, we'll put you in the bullpen and break in case of emergency starter. That's how I view those two.
It feels that way. I also think when Rojas, who was a name that was out there that they were maybe interested in, when he signed elsewhere last Thursday or Friday, I think that also put this in motion. Like, okay, we're going to spend less than on the utility guy. That'll be our minor league deal. And instead, we'll spend a little bit of money to bring back Mike Lorenzen. Now that I've kind of viewed that as, to me, it wasn't a coincidence, but I don't know if we'll ever get the answer on that. It doesn't really matter. But definitely a couple moves that make sense for the Royals. Next up, local college basketball. Number 11 Kansas got a 98-48 win over UCF. Maybe they took out some of their frustration after a pitiful performance.
It sure seemed like they were just like picking
West Virginia.
On UCF a little.
You had K-State squeak one out against TCU. K-State, 63-62 winners over the Horned Frogs. And Missouri over the weekend lost 84-68 to Auburn. Tonight, SEC play continues. Missouri taking on the LSU Tigers.
Watch out. Roos have won 6 in a row.
There you go.
They take on Omaha tomorrow. And Omaha, 6 in a row for the Roos. You know what? ESPN just put out their bracketology.
Oh boy, that's already out.
Put out their 68 team field.
Mm-hmm.
UMKC was in.
Are they leading the summer league? Is that what it is?
They were in the summer league? Dayton 16 play-in game, but you know,
it still counts.
But no, I'm saying, is that what it is?
They play 2 games in the summer league.
Okay, that's what it is. They put whoever's the leader.
That's not what matters here. What matters is
you'll be going to Dayton if they make it.
6-game winning streak. Hell yeah.
There are 3 teams.
Absolutely.
There are 3 teams that are undefeated in conference play in the summer league, Cody. St. Thomas out of Minnesota is 2-0 in conference play. UMKC, Kansas City. And then Omaha, who you said they play. There you go.
Oh, man. Big battle tomorrow then. Big battle up in Omaha tomorrow. That's for
There's
sure.
There's a team. I was trying to just go through like who the worst team was and like
who's the worst team.
The Summit League.
The Denver.
Denver and North Dakota are both 6-11 on the year.
I say
that, and the best team is 12-5, and Missouri UMKC is 10-7.
That's how it works, man. You play all those early non-con games
for sure.
It might be the most competitive.
But man, there's nothing like
Who knows who's winning that conference?
Home court atmosphere at Sweeney Rec. They're 7-1, man. They're 7-1 at home.
Home field, home court advantage.
We've been saying it. We're gonna do Cody and Gold Knight at a Ruse game.
We're all gonna meet up for a UMKC game. Next up on Trinity Tiger and Rory Sim Golf League, TGL begins tonight over on ESPN. People are questioning whether or not that's going to be a big deal. What do you think?
Did I say K-State? K-State lost to TCU. Sorry, 63-62.
No. Are you guys, I'm guessing you're not going to watch? I mean, it's Tuesday. There's not much going on other than NBA in this.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a highlight of it because I'm a little least curious of how like the TV product works on it. Because if the TV product is interesting, I'm interested.
They've been putting out videos of guys hitting on the sim.
I don't know what to make. I don't know what to make of it. But yes, K-State lost 63-62. I guess I said they won. Yeah. That's my bad.
I think it's more for the golf sickos than anything else.
Yeah. I don't even know if I'm checking it out. I don't know if I'm going to even do that.
Again, highlights. I'll check out a highlight. Tell me if I'll let somebody else review the product for me and let me know if it's worth it.
Lastly, we mentioned playoffs are here this week, and we've made some playoff T-shirts thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. So be on the lookout next week. We'll tell you how to get those. And don't forget to get Gates Barbecue for your tailgate or if you're watching at home this weekend. Coming up on the 1 o'clock hour today, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, is going to join us. We'll talk more about something we're going to hit on right now, which is the reports around the league about who could be the next head coach in various spots. Some of them have implications with the Chiefs, including Matt Nagy's name coming up, at least for an interview. I don't know. Like if you were asking me,
I wouldn't call him a favorite to land any job.
I don't think he would be a favorite to land any job at all either.
But sometimes you get a meeting and people surprise themselves.
Yeah. I still think you ask people in Chicago about Matt Nagy, they act like he was the worst head coach ever, which
he's way better than the last coach.
I think it's misleading. It's not correct. I mean, we've all seen what Mitchell Trubisky has been post Matt Nagy. Uh-huh. He's a backup. He's nothing.
Nagy was a 500 coach with the Bears.
He was in the playoffs multiple times with Matt Nagy or with Mitchell Trubisky. So I think Bears fans are need to remember how things were actually then and where you're at now. Do I think Matt Nagy will be a head coach this offseason? No. Do I think he'll be a head coach in this league again? Yeah, I do. I truly believe that. But this doesn't feel like the offseason for that to have happened. But you definitely take those interviews. You never know.
Arthur Smith is getting head coaching job. Dennis Allen.
Interview.
Yeah. Dennis Allen's gotten a second job. I'll just tell you right now. Teams love a retread head coach. He's done it. He's seen what it's like. He's learned from the previous time. Matt Nagy, I agree with you, will get another job in the NFL. And I don't completely rule out this year because Matt Nagy feels like to me the head coach you're not planning on hiring. And then all the plans go through, like the guy you really want is Vrabel and the guy you really want is Ben Johnson. And then those guys go away and by that time, somebody already hired Tampa's offensive coordinator. And now what? And then Matt Nagy starts to look all that more appealing of it's worked. It's always worked in Kansas City. He's a player's coach. He coached in Chicago. Now they're starting to look at Chicago and they're looking at what we're saying. They're like, you know, wasn't all that bad in Chicago.
Nope.
They might have been hyperinflating how bad it was. It actually looks like he came out smelling okay on that one. Maybe we go Matt Nagy's route. I did ask a question yesterday on social media, and I got 500 replies probably, which was, if Matt Nagy took a job, who would you want the Chiefs offensive coordinator to be? Here are the most popular choices. Eric Bieniemy.
No, absolutely not.
Doug Peterson.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Mike Kafka. And John Gruden. I would say that those were the four.
That makes sense. They all have reasons.
Common answers. I had multiple people say that they wanted them to hire Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator and promise him to be coach in waiting.
I mean, I like that plan.
Promise to make him coach in waiting.
I like that plan. No, look, I mean, all the names that people responded with make sense. You can make it, I get why. The one that makes sense because people know the name, but makes no sense because I just don't think there's any chance. Eric Bieniemy's not coming back to be the offensive coordinator. He's in Washington. I think we've all found out.
He did say he wants to get back to the NFL.
We've all found out as time has gone on since he's departed. I think there's been some more fact-finding there. But overall, when it comes to Doug Peterson, if you told me that Matt Nagy got a head coaching gig, I would say just bring Dougie P back. Yep,
it ended a little sour in Kansas City, to my understanding, behind closed doors. But time heals all wounds, so I couldn't completely rule that out.
I know they liked Kafka.
They loved Kafka. They didn't want. Remember, they held him hostage for a whole extra year and didn't let him interview one time, and then eventually did. So, they didn't want Kafka to go anywhere. I would actually put him as the favorite to do it. But there's normally, here's the truth. You want to, more often than not, Andy Reid promotes internally because the real offensive coordinator of this team is Andy Reid. This is not to be a knock that these people are not supposed to be a part of a collaborative process that helps the offense be the best version of itself. But Gold, Andy Reid calls the plays. They run his scheme. He designs the offense. He is the final sayer of all things. Andy Reid is, by all accounts, the offensive coordinator. that's why they promote within a lot, is because it creates this, you know, the system, you already know how this works. Let's make this make sense. We'll just keep bumping you up the totem pole. You'll get your head coaching job in a couple of years and so on. So like I would guess maybe someone in-house, maybe even before they went outside for Kaepernick.
We can ask Nate about it. I don't know if there is an in-house candidate right now for that. But if that even comes to be, where Matt Nagy were to get another gig. I'll tell you one place I know he's not getting a gig again out of all the openings, and that is Chicago. Other than that, it's wide open.
Do you like any of these jobs? Like, I mean, we can say which ones we like the best. Do you think any of these are appealing jobs if you're Ben Johnson?
Yes.
A person who turned down jobs last year because he was waiting for the better job.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is, which jobs of these do you actually think are good?
So absolutely, I think there's two that really stand out. I think you have to factor in that, based on reporting, Ben Johnson, the Lions OC, wants to have, like, I don't know, full control is the right word, but he wants to have a lot of say. He's not going to just be, you know, having a general manager boss him around, basically. He wants some say, and he's kind of, I don't know if you want to say earned it, but he definitely has the leverage, is, I guess, the right way
to put
it.
He's continued to use his leverage to make the position as strong as possible.
Yes. As far as the job, I think New England is really intriguing because I do think they have a good owner. Chicago's ownership is a mess. I have Drake May. I got a division where, yeah, the Bills are a problem, but I don't think the Jets are a problem. The Dolphins aren't a problem to me. I can compete in that division. And I've got a good draft pick slot as well. I think that's really intriguing. Assuming he thinks Drake May is as good as what Drake May has shown at times this year. And then Chicago still is number two, even though I told you the ownership is a big problem for me. I have Caleb Williams, and I know it's very easy. People write him off 1 year. Well, they need to hire a right guy so they don't mess him up for good. But there's way too much talent for me to just say Caleb Williams can't figure it out in the league. That's crazy.
If I were head coach, the only two jobs I would be interested in are Pats Bears. Unless
Jacksonville's interesting if they get rid of Balky. If I say Ben Johnson says, hey, I'll take the gig. You got a new stadium on the way. I've got Trevor Lawrence, Brian Thomas, the receiver you just drafted, might be a top 10 receiver in this league. Consistent.
ETN can play
by the end of the year. Yeah, although I don't know about ETN anymore. Yeah. Bixby was playing more than him at times. But I hear your point. They got some talent there. It's the ownership and GM dynamic. If I got to tell you, Trent Baalke, I don't want him as my GM if I'm Ben Johnson.
My problem is the loyalty you've had to GM versus head coach would concern me if I'm a coach, because he'll lay on a hot bed of coals for Trent Baalke. He'd do anything to protect that man's job. I mean, I'd be surprised to find out he wasn't like the godparent to Shad Khan's kids. Like, it makes no sense that Baalke still has a job. It is beyond comprehension. Equally unfathomable is the fact that the Giants aren't changing anything internally. And so far to this point, the Raiders haven't. Can anyone explain to me how how those two people are still in charge in New York?
It's a lot of poorly run franchises, man. We wonder all the time, like,
how?
Why are teams struggling to take the leap and get out of the funk for decades? And it's what you just mentioned, Cody, and New York. With both franchises, we just mentioned the Tennessee Titans today fired their general manager. The GM, they fired when last year they kept him because they didn't want to, like, they chose him over Vrabel. Now they need a new GM anyway, and Vrabel's the hottest name that's available on the market. Like, it's just, you wonder why these teams
didn't
stink.
Want him anymore. You're like, you could have had a decent head coach and just found a better GM to find talent for the man. Look, Saints and Jets, auto no. I'm not even picking up the call from Ben Johnson. Like, hey, Saints are calling. Pass.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, if I'm Mike Vrabel, a pass. Real quick, not interested in your terrible cap situations / awful talent on your roster. Pass. The Bears and Patriots, it really comes down to one simple thing if I'm a coach. When you watch tape, are you a believer in Drake May and are you a believer in Caleb Williams? Because if just that is simply true, I'd take the job. I think Robert Kraft sometimes can do some sketchy things, but by all accounts, he has a very, very, very good reputation in the league as being a GM-friendly owner. So I know him and Bill eventually ran into it, but he has a very, very good reputation for that. So, like, of all the jobs, maybe the Patriots would be the most appealing to me, but it probably depends on how much you believe in Drake May. That's what it comes down to. I can't believe the Giants are doing it again. Poor Malik Nabers. Who's going to start for them next year?
No, they draft somebody.
Cam Ward or Shador.
Yeah, they're going to draft. Yeah, so
they
gonna,
will draft.
They're going to draft. They are. They have to draft a quarterback.
Well, that's sticking. They're not going back to Daniel Jones.
I'm saying, like, you're like, what are they going to do? A quarterback? One of the young. Yeah, whether it's a name that Drew mentioned, Cam Ward, Sanders. I mean, the problem is
it's really only. So this is another
reason. Great
only,
draft
it's only
class.
Those two.
This is another reason why this is stupid. It was the same argument you and I made for Eberflus or Eberflus, whatever the correct pronunciation is. Doesn't matter anymore.
I think it's Eberflus.
The latter.
Eberflus.
Yes.
It's the same argument I made. Horrible way to handle a rookie quarterback is to stick him with a coach, whoever and GM, whoever one wants to fire. He gets his first year in there. It doesn't go well enough. You can everybody. He has to learn a new offense with a new offense. It's a they set Caleb Williams up by making Eberflus his court because now he has to tear it all down and start all over again. And instead, you could have gotten your guy, gotten him in the offense, given them years together to work. Found the cohesion. You could have made this thing have a balance. And instead, you're going to tear it down, and it's the same as I think Caleb Williams is going into his rookie year.
It is, but I think the hope has to be, for anybody saying, like, Caleb Williams is just like, oh, my God, I've already seen enough. I know you aren't, but if because people were skeptical of him to begin with for in Kansas City for whatever reason.
Really?
You get that a lot. Like, I don't know if people just didn't like his mentality or whatever, but
he's got Patrick Mahomes, so they don't remember what, like, pretty good quarterback play looks like.
Look at Bryce Young in Carolina. Everybody thought he was toast and done. Multiple coordinators looked like crap, got benched.
And
now he's clearly their franchise quarterback. Clearly their franchise quarterback.
He played pretty good down the stretch.
Anybody writing off Caleb Williams after 1 year with a defensive minded head coach, a crappy offensive coordinator came over from Seattle and Shane Waldron, then I just don't think you're paying much attention. Caleb Williams, I think, will be fine. They got to hire an offensive minded head coach, and that's exactly what they should do. Although I didn't like the quotes out of Ryan Poles, who was in Kansas City. He's their GM over there. He was quoted today saying to the media about their coaching search, there might be some surprises, some names that you guys are surprised by we're interviewing. That's a terrible sign. That's a terrible sign.
I know Joe Brady is getting interviewed by them.
I don't want there to be surprises. If I'm the Bears, I have Caleb Williams. I don't want there to be a surprise head. That's how you get Mark Trestman from the CFL. Surprises.
Oh my God.
Come on.
They're gonna hire Ryan Day, aren't they? Like, they're gonna go to the college.
Surprises. Well, Kevin
isn't it?
Kevin Warren came over from the Big Ten. He's now in charge of, like, their business side or whatever it is for the Bears.
I swear,
it's Ryan Day.
I swear, if we see a Lincoln Riley is interviewing for the Chicago Bears job, you might lose it.
Thinking of former Cliff Kingsbury, you guys think he'll be a head coach somewhere this year?
That was another name.
I think he'll be an OC.
I think he stays in Washington another year.
Mm-hmm.
Has another year of success with Jaden Daniels,
and then a job.
Mm-hmm,
I agree.
All right, let's get to all 32. You know what? You should be happy. Yes, you, Cody. You should be happy. Something happened that nobody caught.
I remember being happy.
I remember a year ago, you're like, this is dumb. You're like, why do we do it? And I said, look, it's fun. It's a marketing ploy. The NFL has dropped said marketing ploy. That is, the NFL quietly stopped calling this weekend. You know, this weekend, the wild card weekend. We used to call it Super Wild Card Weekend. Super Wild Card Weekend is gone for good. You notice none of the promos, none of the marketing, they dropped it. So this weekend is no longer super anymore.
I'll be honest.
Wild Card Weekend.
I know your All 32 wasn't just for me, but it feels good to be on the right side of history. From the onset, I called this stupid. It was super what? It's the same. What's it super in?
It's super packed, man. More teams.
Because there's like one additional game, two additional games. We're trying to... Wild Card Weekend has cachet, name brand, flavor. They tried to change it to Mountain Lightning when it was already Mountain Dew. Why would you go to off-brand naming when you already had it?
So it's just
Good
Wild Card Weekend. Yeah.
We're back?
It's just Wild Card Weekend. It would have been funny if they just tried a different word. And they're like, dude, super. It's fantastic Wild Card Weekend.
It is exactly the same as if... When they go to like 72 teams or 78 teams in the NCAA, and instead they started calling it Super March Madness. You can't just throw Super in front of it.
But you already have Madness in there. You already have Madness in there, so you definitely can't. You already have the word
Super March Madness.
It's Madness Wild Card Weekend.
You didn't need a new name. It was so stupid from the beginning.
It's gone.
I'm glad the NFL.
It's gone.
By the way, quietly smart. They just buried it. Somebody owns some like Super Wild Card Weekend gear out there, I hope.
Yep.
You got a piece. We'd love it for the Cody and Gold garage sale. We'd love your relics of the Super Wild Card Weekend, which is now dead. I I always support players who stick it to bad franchises who now want out of their mistake, even if you didn't play well. Good for Derek Carr. Derek Carr this weekend was asked whether or not he would take a pay cut to try to help out the New Orleans Saints and what is their continued cap hell and a bad contract they still owe Derek Carr. What he said is, I'm not going to do that. You can just go ahead and pay me every cent I'm owed. And honestly, good for him. We make too big of a deal sometimes about this teamwork. The team player stuff to me applies to winning teams, winning organizations who have taken care of you. You've been with the Saints for 2 years. They've helped you zero. They give you Dennis Allen as a head coach. Take every cent. Take every cent they got in the pocketbook. Take it all to the bank. Give them zero discount. Don't help them out. Kirk Cousins, don't help with the Falcons.
He's not going
either,
to.
By the way.
He's not going
to. He never
to.
Has. He's never taken the. Yeah.
No, they, I mean, look, you signed me to a contract. I expect you to pay it out. I mean, yeah, I have no, especially for these guys that are towards the back end of their career.
I just think about it in any other career. Like, if they fired me from radio today, like, Cody, get the hell out of here. To make it clear, I'm technically not on a contract, so anything could happen, you know? They could just let me go today. So, if they let me go today and they're like, well, we don't want to pay you all this money we technically owe, you'd be like, but will you take less? Pass. I'll take everything you owe me. I'm not going out cheap. I'm taking every cent. In any other job, you wouldn't agree. No one would be like, you know what? I'd like less severance, actually. It feels like a nice thing to do. This is your fault. You have a bad organization.
I have no problem with Derek Carr saying, no, pay me everything. I'm not going to take a pay cut.
Yeah. Smart.
So we referenced it a little bit earlier. Not what I'm going to say, but Sam Darnold, JJ McCarthy, what do you do if the Vikings lose in the first round, let's say? Well, the Titans, I think, should be waiting for that decision because they should do whatever the Vikings don't. They don't want Sam Darnold? Fine. The Titans should be willing to offer what they have for Sam Darnold. If they keep Sam Darnold, let's say the Vikings go on a run, they should offer a second-round pick, maybe a third, whatever they need. I don't know if it'll be a first. Try to get J.J. McCarthy, and he's your quarterback. I think
they have
the
number one pick, though. Would I not just draft Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, whoever I think is the best quarterback? Like, we all agree that they need a quarterback.
Correct.
It would depend on if I, you know, again, it's a weak quarterback class. If I'm not in love with one of those two, I'd probably do Drew's plan.
Load up on assets, trade for J.J. McCarthy, and then get better.
I'm just not trading for a guy that's coming off two surgeries.
That's fair, but some organizations need what Andy Reid did here in Kansas City, which is just like, hey, I need you to make us, like, this is what Sean Payton did in Denver, in fairness. I need you to make us competent again. Like the Titans are, like, we need to not be laughing stock levels. And veteran quarterback, tons of picks, all high. Like, there's a way to just, like, reset. But, like, at that argument, just wait for the team to cut Kirk Cousins. Wait, trade for, you know, like, and I know maybe that didn't go great or whatever, but, like, there are other random veteran quarterbacks around.
Yeah, depending on how the playoffs go, I mean, if we're just talking about for the Vikings angle, I think the Vikings ultimately should just tag Sam Darnold, have him play one more year, see how he goes. If he stinks next year, then you go to the guy you drafted. If he's awesome, then you give him a long-term deal. Let me throw this wild scenario out there. We all are talking about the 49ers and Brock Purdy, who didn't have a great year, got hurt again, but he's due for a new deal.
He is.
If I'm Kyle Shanahan, and I knew Drew's saying for the Titans to wait for the Vikings. If Sam Darnold was available,
who he had in his organization once,
I move on from Brock Purdy and I just sign Sam Darnold to a deal that's probably 60 or 70% of the deal that Brock Purdy is going to get.
Probably.
And I had Sam Darnold in my building a year ago already. That's what I would do. I wouldn't pay Purdy. I'd go acquire Sam Darnold and I just pay him for 60, 70% of the dollar.
If I were him, I would just try to figure out if Dallas would let go of Dak Prescott or something. Like, I'd really try to upgrade my quarterback.
Dallas can't just let Dak go with the new deal at this point.
I would just say, I'd call.
I think Dallas could look into trading. Like, Micah Parsons could be traded this offseason. I could see Dallas. Yeah.
Miles Garrett maybe could be traded this offseason as well.
Yeah, he's kind of done with Cleveland, it sounds like. He wants to see a plan. You see Deshaun Watson had a setback on his Achilles injury.
They're going to try to injury guarantee his ass.
They should.
Hey, Cody.
Man, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, you know? That's a real shame that Deshaun Watson. I'm going to be tossing and turning.
I know
tonight.
You are, man. That's your guy.
You guys
that
mentioned
is your guy.
You guys mentioned that the Titans have to get a quarterback. Can't get much worse than Will Levis. So little if they draft, let's say they drafted Cam Ward and it still was bad. It couldn't be worse than what Will Levis was.
Something he will not be doing Mayo commercials next year.
Every single weekend.
Those are good though. He's a good actor.
He did well. All right, up next, let's talk a little bit about the Royals briefly though. Just what they were able to do over the last couple of days and. We said we wanted to see one or two performances on Sunday's game. Did we get our answer out of the Broncos game? We'll explain why that's not the case next. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 15 minutes right here on Cody and Gold. Hope you guys are having a good Tuesday. A lot of you back in at it today, staying safe out there. Once again, thanks so much to those that are still working for either MoDOT, KDOT, their city, plows, all that. I know you guys are still out there doing it. A lot of the neighborhoods still need to be cleared. But props ever since Saturday, really. And I guess Friday night I saw trucks putting down like treatment stuff on the road. So it's been going since Friday as far as the snow plows and city workers and everything. So shout out to all of you. I know a lot of you on the text line earlier and a lot of you that listen to the show, you know, work for landscape companies as well. And obviously this time of year you turn into snow plow removal, all of it. I know it's been a lot of work the last couple of days. So shout out to all of you helping us be able to get back to work. So we appreciate that.
You had to do some shoveling, right?
Yeah, I was, well...
The parents?
Yeah, because I ended up going over there, and I told you, though, the trade-off was, hey, got to have, like, it's not a full-blown snow blower, but it's like a thrower. Snow thrower is what they call it. It's a small little thing. It definitely helped, though, but I had to go out there while it was snowing, because if it was going to be a foot of snow, that thing wouldn't have been able to handle it.
But, I was using a similar thing, right? Yeah. The, like, power shovel thing, but then it started to smoke for a while, so we had to cool it.
Wait, what? You destroyed your snow blower?
I mean, I haven't tried to, like, after it smoked, I was like, I'll just give it a
break. Is yours gas unit?
No, it's electric.
Oh, that's even worse. It's smoking and it's not gas. It's smoking, it's electric. That seems even more problematic, actually. Mm-hmm.
Seems bad. So
just overheat it?
I bought it last year.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's not that old. I used it like twice last year or something.
What brand?
Snow Joe.
Yeah.
I'm sure $100 or whatever dollars for it. I don't remember what I paid, but
the fact that it's smoking electrical, I always see that. Like gas, I would understand if it was smoking, I guess, a little bit. The electrical smoking seems way more.
Seems problematic.
Hmm. Okay.
Hopefully I didn't burn the motor out or something. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, it was a lot of snow, but I was doing it. This was like a pre-shovel. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like I started on Sunday morning, Sunday at like noon, and then again Sunday at like. It died on the second one. Made it through Sunday at noon, but then we went back for the round two at 5 or 6 or whatever. I didn't like that so much. I also didn't realize you were supposed to shovel like multiple times. Is that a thing?
Well, this was a unique storm.
Okay.
If you waited till 12 inches were on the ground, it made your job really, really difficult.
Impossible, probably.
That's why you kind of, when there's a lot of, so if you only got 4 inches, you could just wait until it was over.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, 12, you know. Anyway, we'll get to the random question of the day in just a bit. But I wanted to talk briefly on the Royals. I know it's this time of the year, we don't normally do a ton of Royals, but a couple moves that maybe tell us about what's to come and also solidify what they're trying to accomplish perhaps in their rotation after trading Brady Singer. We know they already brought back Michael Wacha, but Michael Lorenzen back on a 1-year deal. Kevin Biggio, an infielder on a minor league contract. It feels like, all right, we found another utility guy to play infield perhaps out of spring training. And also in the rotation, Michael Lorenzen could be our fifth starter. He could also be a long reliever. We know injuries happen. Let's see, what does Kyle Wright look like in spring training? Is he ready for opening day? Probably not. If he is, great. But if not, we've got someone that can hold the fort down for a little bit. Like, it all makes sense. I understand people, I think, are a little disappointed. We're hoping they were going to be able to go out and get a bigger name, not pitcher, but just in general. I think it's pretty clear there's some payroll limitation this year. I think it's very evident.
Same rule applies. Generally, I'm understanding that there is a budget and these teams are going to spend a certain budget. I think the Royals could exceed that if they chose to. If they just wanted to like throw money at it, they can. They choose not to. Their budget has been set clearly, and I'm kind of with you. These are good moves. Like, JJ's done really well. I think what JJ's done the best in is in the margins. So, like, his best deals have not been the ones where he's handed out the most money other than Bobby Wood Jr., in which that continues to pay off dividends. But instead, it's been in the margins. Seth Lugo was a player they paid a pretty good amount of money to, but he wasn't the highest paid free agent pitcher available. He wasn't the single highest. None of the guys they went after were the highest guys available from a price point perspective, but they have found a lot of value in the margins. A lot of guys for Cole Reagans in trades or Lugo in free agency, and all these moves have been there. So Michael Lorenzen is the perfect safety net. He can go into short relief. He can go into long relief. He can be a full-blown starter for your team. He provides you ultimate depth. That's all you're asking for, ultimate depth. I think they probably make him a long reliever until they can back him up as a starter if they needed to. And if the season goes on and you're staying healthy, fine, then crank his innings down and see if he can throw 1 to 2 sharp innings. And that's all available to you. Kevin Biggio just feels like that's Frazier. At least now, no Adam Frazier.
Yeah, it looks like that's the likely end result of this kind of move. I always laugh about Kevin Biggio because we were, as a station, we were once at Coffin Stadium in the upper deck watching Royals and Blue Jays. I don't know, what, 2 years ago? And Kevin Biggio gets to the plate. And we're with Carrington, and we're all sitting there. And, he's like, who's this guy? He's like, Kevon? And we're like, no, Kevin Biggio. I haven't talked to Carrington about this again because he was like, yeah, if he was basically saying how he's like, that guy's name should be pronounced Kevon. Like, no, it's
but that's not how it is pronounced.
Kevin Biggio. So now, yeah, they have another player on the team whose dad played in the league as well. So add that Bobby Wood Jr., obviously, and Kevin Biggio.
It's been a few years, but he was on like a million teams last year. He was on three different teams last year. He was on minor league deals last year. So, like, I mean, he was in and around the league. One thing Kevin Biggio does well, way better than Adam Frazier, and would have been, not kidding, fourth best on this team if he had hit his career on base percentage. He gets on base in his career. He's not a strong hitter. He's not a powerful hitter. It's whatever. He gets on base at a .341 clip. His career walk rate would have been third best on the team last year. His career on base percentage would have been fourth best on the team last year. His on base percentage last year would have been third best.
You think he's just basically going to fill the void from Adam Frazier.
Super utility.
Is there a way? Sure, I'm with you. Is there a way, though? Does this change anything on your thought on the whole left field thing with Michael Massey? Or is just, hey, no, there's a trade coming at some point during spring training or right before spring training?
I might be wrong here, and maybe this is because we like Michael Massey. I still think they're trading Garcia. Like, I actually think they'll make Massey work, and the infielder that is going is Garcia. Because I think he is the more valuable open market. I think that that'll end up being a combination of players they have in-house, right? It'll be some games for Massey because I think it's an easier position to transition to. It'll be some games. I don't think that they're going to move off of second base. I think that'll be
playing second base. I think it's I'd be stunned.
But like, and maybe that'll be like what they target in a trade, but I still think that they'll try to make third work. Like, I still think that, like, maybe it's Alec Boehm still. I don't know. But, like,
still
out there. But
back in November, that was the name that was really interesting. He still hasn't been moved. But remember when JJ Piccolo joined us, unrelated to Alec Boehm, just generally saying he was, hey, we're waiting till January when the price comes down on some guys. Now, whether that was
January 7th,
whether that was these moves, whether that is another move to come, trade, free agency, whatever, I still think the price coming down is referring to a trade market as well, not just free agency. Like that you get closer to the season and all of a sudden the team that was asking for a blank prospect or whatever may not require the same prospect on January 30th as it was requiring on December 15th.
We all think that they're still going to make another move, but if they did, if they don't, how would you grade their moves right now?
In terms of getting better
on base percentage with
getting Walker back was huge.
And Walker and Lorenzen.
I think you have to balance as an organization, based off of what clearly is a payroll limitation, I would probably I would put it in like the B minus category. Based off of the money that they have, I think to this point, JJ Piccolo's basically got the most out of the money that they possibly could that they're able to spend this offseason. You know, I don't. Basically, you're asking, do you agree with trading Brady Singer for India, or would you have rather moved in a different direction, not brought back Michael Walker, or whatever? I don't know how you can be upset about Michael Walker coming back.
C plus, B minus, and again, most of that is the thing I like. You had mentioned that I think is kind of part of this is I had told you at the end of the season. I think we kind of discussed this once towards the end of the season when the Royals playoff run ended. If the Royals on November 15th. Had to start a new major league season with the roster that they had, even just under contract. Had a pretty set roster, right? Huge chunk of their nine position players were already on the roster and available. A huge chunk of their pitching staff was already on the roster and available. Mm-hmm. This offseason was always going to be about filling gaps, not major, major moves, in my opinion. And so Walker and Lorenzen and utility player, the only gaps they haven't filled is, do you want to get better at third base? And do you want to get better in the corner outfield?
Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll talk some Chiefs football with Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Want to get his thoughts on the coaching carousel and how it could tie back into the Chiefs in some form. Also see if he agrees with us. You know, I think one of the things on preseason or what turned out to be a preseason game against the Broncos, we wanted to see what Carson Wentz would look like because if he had a good day, maybe that sets him up to get a job next year. I don't know how you can judge him off. It obviously wasn't good, but also how can you judge anything? Vanilla game plan, completely backup offensive line after the first drive. They pulled Creed Humphrey and everybody after the first drive. Just barely had the ball in the first half also on top of it. Just wasn't a real football game for them. So was it enough to get him a shot starting? No.
No.
I mean, you have to hope that they just wipe that one away and doesn't even count, because I don't know.
He finished with 98 yards.
How you can judge him, though. I mean, as we said earlier, other than Harrison Butker, I don't know what you can really take away from what turned out to be a preseason game for the Chiefs.
I'd love to come in here and make some grandiose point that is like, well, Patrick Mahomes can't afford to get hurt in this postseason. Wentz will never be able to do what Chad Henne did for this squad, right? He's not going to be able to come in here and get a first down.
Oh.
He can't throw that ball in third. I'm not going to do that. I said it'd be easy, right? Because you could just pick on his stat line and be like, what are you, 10 of 17 for 98 yards, no interceptions, no touchdowns. It was a pretty sad effort of the game. Because the three guys, I would say that if you wanted to come in here and start being like, uh-oh, Carson Wentz won, you could just be like, backup quarterback ain't it. And he's never going to get himself a starting job. But also, like, now I'm worried that if there was an injury, he couldn't cover for a few minutes. DJ Humphreys, who technically rated out as Pro Football Focus's worst offensive lineman on the day for Kansas City. He was playing with a backup guard, center, right? And he's playing against one of the best defensive lines in the NFL.
Just play Joe Tooney at left tackle at this point. I just didn't see enough.
Interesting. You're already there, huh?
Well, for the play, not for long term. I don't know how you could see anything from DJ Humphreys. Now, maybe the Chiefs just flat out said, hey, he made it out of the game healthy and he's practicing again, and that's good enough for us. But I don't know how you can judge him good or bad. I still haven't seen enough from DJ Humphreys to feel better about him at left tackle than Joe Tooney.
This isn't a knock, because I really don't care what they did in this game. They earned the right to do whatever the hell they wanted in this game based on all the wins before. Some of the effort from some of the regular starters who got some time.
Charles Amenihue rushing the passes. did you see?
Charles Amenihue? That was exactly the first player who came to like, whoo, Amenihue was not out there trying to get some work in. This again, Charles, if you're listening, I don't care.
I don't blame you either.
I don't care, man. Don't be trying to get hurt. It's good. We're all good here. We're all friends. I don't care. I just want that effort 2 weeks from now in a divisional round game.
I'm not worried about him. He'll be ready to roll divisional round game.
Yeah, but it was obvious. The effort was woof.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's hard to. I can't blame him. I can't blame the way they approached the entire game. It makes a lot of sense.
Like, I thought Cook maybe a little bit. There's just some guys who just like, are you even trying to tell
me? Mihio is the only guy that seemed to be giving max effort.
Well, he's got something to play for, right? Yeah. He's trying to stay on a practice squad, find his way on an NFL roster again. He's played.
He'd be doing the punt return stuff too, or the kick return stuff too.
Well. He's been active in NFL games before. I would make something. Here's the problem with DJ Humphreys is that game taught us one thing, which is, if the Chiefs want to start DJ Humphreys 2 weeks from now or 2 weeks from yesterday or Saturday, whenever they end up playing, they are going to have to do it based on practice. Just hope. They're not going to have any reliable game tape in order to make this decision. The man sat out an entire year with a major injury. He came back. He played three quarters of a game for you. He's been back at practice for like 5 days at a limited capacity. He just went up against one of the best defensive lines in the league with four other backup offensive linemen and Carson Wentz at starting quarterback. If you are going to decide to start DJ Humphreys at tackle in a playoff game, you will be doing it based on blind faith and scouting, I guess, because you don't have any tape to support that DJ Humphreys deserves a job. Joe Tooney deserves to be the left tackle.
That's all it is for me, though, is that I don't disagree that in theory, if we saw a bunch of games from Humphrey, is the offensive line potentially better to have my all-pro actually play his all-pro position at left guard, Joe Tooney, and to have even average play left tackle? Yeah, I think that as a whole is a better offensive line. The problem is I haven't even seen the average left tackle play for more than a game.
Yeah.
So that's why, and Mike Caliendo is obviously not nearly as good of a guard as Joe Tooney, but I needed more games from DJ Humphrey is basically what it comes down to me. Now, maybe they saw enough. We're going to talk to Nate Taylor about this in 10 minutes or so. And we know deep down the Chiefs wanted Humphreys as the left tackle and Tooney as the left guard. And in their mind, maybe they saw enough. I think a big part is this week they're off, but
how does he feel today?
Yeah.
How does he feel
is
tomorrow?
Is he practicing in full whenever they start that back up?
Yeah. I mean, that's a real question. And I can't. I assume they do. They do practice on these weeks, right? They don't treat like
off the whole week.
They don't treat like a bye week, like in a regular season.
Light,
bye
light
week.
Practices,
walkthroughs.
Yeah.
Here's some film on our four possible opponents.
This time of year, I think they're all light practices. Honestly,
I gotta say this is a real benefit for the Chiefs. The opponents they're getting ready to face, they have faced all four of the potential teams they will have to face this year, which means they have already, and two of them twice, which means they have already spent six different games scouting these opponents. We already know the effort they put into scouting divisional opponents. This is not a hard study for them. They are familiar. Now, of course,
those
they faced
play,
every
those
single
teams
team.
Play them too, but I hear you.
Sure. But, you know, Chiefs coaching staff is better.
I agree.
They also don't have to prepare for, like, Denver has to prepare for Buffalo this weekend.
Well, that's why another reason why you like to buy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, the Chiefs ended up going through a season finishing 15-2 where they gave up the final game. They went 15-1 with starters, and they didn't even – and they played every single team in the playoff field. They played eight games this year against the AFC playoff field. Like, I mean, and they're the two-time defending Super Bowl champion with more playoff experience than any team on the planet. I mean – I know that they might not still win it all. I understand how the NFL works and these things fall apart sometimes. It could not be set up better for you.
I feel good about it. Team's playing good football. Got the bye that was so crucial to have. I still don't think, you know, even though Buffalo beat the Chiefs, I don't think they're this daunting opponent. They've had some games where they've looked a little iffy and found ways to squeak it out. They just had a close call against the Patriots as well. For all the talk about the Chiefs close calls, they had a close call 2 weeks ago against New England. So, I think you got to feel great about the position that you're in. There will always be fans that are nervous. I get it. That's part of being a fan. You're going to be nervous, and it'll be a stressful game and all that. That's all not going to change. But
playoffs are playoffs.
I mean, I don't know why you shouldn't be confident, though. How can you not, given the track record and also not just the past? For those that are like, well, you can't keep bringing up the past. The present, they've looked as good as any team in football the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yep. Yeah, it's not just the past. It's the present. It's all of it. The Chiefs have every little tiny thing in their favor when you talk about, is it a team you can trust?
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Don't forget, you can watch this show on video.
Yeah.
YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Like, subscribe. You know, get those little alerts so you can see when we go live, which is all three shows, 12 hours straight.
You mentioned the alerts. I don't know if they had it on the Missouri side. Man, I about had a heart attack four different times. The Kansas KDOT had the alerts on
Missouri
the phone.
Missouri didn't send any alerts. They just figured we...
Emergency alerts, like, you know, stay off the road. This was on Sunday night and Monday. Just, yeah, it's the same noise as the Amber Alert, right? Just loud. What was that? 6 a.m. on Monday, too. I'm awake. Thank you.
That's weird because I got the same one you're talking about. Yeah. I got one like in the middle of the day. My wife got one in the middle of the morning.
Yeah, they sent out like three or four.
All I got was one.
Man, if you're in the same household with like four phones, everybody's awake. I'll tell you that.
Be a rude awakening. I didn't get too many of those. The question I have for you today is something I was thinking about is, you know, looking for movies to watch or stuff. You're stuck inside the whole weekend. And I was thinking about a question that somebody asked me once. What is something that when you saw the preview for it, the trailer for it, whatever, you're like, that looks terrible. It's not going to be good. It looks terrible. I don't want to see it. That you decided ended up being good. Oh. The reason why I asked it, so the show for me, and I'll give my answer and then I'll tell you why I came up with this. The show for me was Lost. They showed all the trailers for that show. And when they were showing trailers for it, I'm like, who would watch this? What are they on an island and there's a thing made of smoke? This looks dumb. And I don't know why people would watch. And I watched it. I very much enjoyed the show. The movie Better Man that is coming out right now, that is a biopic of a British pop star, Robbie Williams. But for no reason, he's a monkey in the movie. I'm like, this looks so stupid. And it has a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes from a critic perspective and 96% fan rating. It is apparently... tremendous. The trailers make it look so stupid.
Who is it a biopic of?
Robbie Williams. He's a British pop star.
Okay.
Probably a little before your time. He had kind of a rise.
I thought he said
fall.
Robin Williams.
Robbie.
That's what I thought too. I was like, what?
Robbie Williams.
To answer you, man, that's a good question.
Because we all end up watching stuff that we think it looks kind of stupid, but we turn it on
anyway.
I'm
trying to think of a movie off the top of my head or a TV show where I'm like, all right, this looks terrible. You watch it. You know what? That's not...
There's definitely movies that maybe you watch with a girl. You know, you're like, I don't want to watch The Bachelor. And you're like, I kind of dig this.
Well, that's
not what it is.
That's how I was initially with one of the dating reality shows. I'm like, this looks like trash reality.
And
I was like, but next thing you know, I watched the whole first season. oh gosh, what was that?
The Circle? Didn't you want? No, that
no, not the Circle one. Actually, that one was interesting. The oh my gosh, I couldn't help but watch it. Love Island, just trash.
Oh, Love Island.
Just trash. But
I think
anyone
watches Love Island.
But Love Island, ended up watching a bunch.
Okay, so funny enough, that also is the answer because my
Love Island.
So my sister loved watching it's like Love Island. I'm sorry, it was The Bachelors in Paradise.
Oh, that's
just partying.
That was what it was.
Trash she is.
So my sister was into it, and she was like, "Do you want to watch this with me?" I was like, "Not really." And she was like, "Please, I want your opinion." I was like, "Fine." So I watched like a couple of episodes, and then all of a sudden, I was asking her when she was watching the next episode, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll go ahead and join." So it wasn't that bad. It was entertaining.
Someone else said Love is Blind. That's another one that I was like, "Yeah," and sure. I ended up watching easily a first season.
I never ended up seeing it, but like, you know, sometimes trailers are so off-putting. Like, I never watched Avatar. I'm like, "Look at this dumb-looking movie."
That's right. You've never seen
it. It's just
Avatar.
These like blue people walking around. I'm like, "I don't want to watch this." By all accounts, people probably really liked it. Turns out it made like $1 billion.
Yeah, one of the highest grossing movies ever.
At the box office. Now, that one I didn't get around to, but like sometimes like The Better Man, everyone else appears, he's just a monkey. And I have no idea why. And like I watched that trailer and I'm like, who would watch this? And I looked up the reviews. I mean, they're incredible.
Yeah, 90% Rotten Tomatoes.
It seems like for a lot of you, based on the texts we're getting in over on YouTube and Twitch and all those things, a lot of people, it's like reality TV, where they got sucked in on some show that they weren't planning on watching. Their significant other put it on. Like my brother was really guilty of this when he was living with, when we were like living with each other on Grey's Anatomy, a show he claimed he was only watching because of her. And eventually he was watching seasons and seasons and seasons and seasons.
Yeah, that show though was out when I was still living at home back in like junior high and high school. And so that was just on the house or on the TV at the house growing up. And I had two sisters as well. And so that was just a show like that we all watched. So I probably watched a good 5 seasons of Grey's Anatomy back in the day.
Is it still on?
I don't know.
Get caught up.
I don't know.
Somebody says I keep refusing to talk about the aliens that visit us. It's like, I didn't know. I mean, we got into some of that stuff over in New Jersey. Is that still going on?
We did. We already talked about the drones. That's quieted down a little bit, but I don't know what's going on the latest.
Planning their attack.
Mm-hmm.
From the 913, they said that their show is Beast Games on Amazon Prime. I mean, I almost watched that this weekend because you're running out of things to watch. And you're like, I don't want to watch another movie or this. And you're just stuck inside. And you're like, you get on Prime and you're like, well, this looks so stupid. But you're like, it's just reality competition stuff. And then someone told me it is a show that will make you irrationally mad because it'll offer you like $1 million to quit. And these people who are like 31 won't do it. I'm like, quit. But I didn't watch it yet.
Wait, really?
Wait, Beast Games, I meant. Why? Have you watched that?
No, I'm just saying they're offering $1 million for you to literally quit playing the game.
I don't know. That's the way he plays it.
Where can I like apply
to
be part of
this? You got to get yourself to be in one of these reality TV shows. You'd leave in a hurry. So would I. Go, they offer you $1 million. Be like, you don't have to play the game anymore.
Get the hell out of there.
You could win $5 million if you stay. You're like,
I'll take my mail and be done. There's got to be some catch, some other document they sign where they're not, like, they're just, even though they're on the show, they're just not allowed. I don't buy it.
Someone says, I'm catching up on Grey's now.
My girlfriend got me into Gossip Girl.
Thought it looks terrible, and now I'm into it.
Gosh.
I've watched, I think, almost every single episode of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I thought you were saying Gossip
Girls. I'd be surprised.
I was like,
Gilmore Girls. And it's fine. It's a perfectly fine show. Like, there's nothing, like, it's not like I won't watch it on my own time, but yeah, still.
All right, up next, 1 o'clock hour, we'll get back to the Chiefs with our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor. I want to ask him not only about the left tackle situation, but the news out there about a couple Chiefs staff members that could be getting interviews.